the devil's advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Hope you're enjoying it so far. You can be a big part. Just join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. And we'll log your call and we'll forevermore have a record that you've called, you know, the greatest radio show ever. But Donald Trump's got a lot of big old gaps in his phone records. Apparently, over 7 hours worth of gaps. And the day in question, January 6th. It's not like he was out on the golf course that day hitting holes in one. No, he apparently went back to the White House just to chill, watch a little news coverage of what was happening at the, you know, the insurrection. It's almost like he had a rooting interest in the outcome. Greg Sargent at the Washington Post. This is an opinion piece, but he offers us the three big takeaways from Trump's missing January 6th phone logs. You know, someone to do the heavy lifting, and then I can share his thoughts with you, our fair audience. In another bid for the worst than Watergate files, it turns out there is a 7-hour gap in Donald Trump's phone logs on the day of the insurrection attempt, according to documents obtained by the Washington Post and CBS News. There is no record of then President Donald Trump taking calls on January 6, 2021, from just after 11 a.m. to shortly before 7 p.m. That's a long gap. That means there's a big black hole in the record when it comes to Trump's conversations throughout the period during which the mob assaulted the U.S. Capitol and violence raged over several hours. The documents, which were turned over to the House Select Committee examining January 6th, do show that Trump had many calls before 11 and after 6 that were apparently related to the coup attempt. That suggests Trump held many phone calls related to the insurrection between those two times that are not officially accounted for. Perhaps on the burner phones that he's never heard of but spoke about often. Here are three big takeaways, according to Greg Sargent. The non-cooperation of Trump allies makes this story worse. You know, when you're covering up for the boss, it's almost like you're covering up. We already know Trump spoke to many key players by phone while the violence unfolded, thanks to the dogged reporting in January 6th committee's investigation thus far. For instance, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy pled with Trump to call off the rioters to no avail. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows urged Trump to do the same and was with or near Trump throughout that period. Calls such as these are among those that should be in the phone logs, but aren't. The Post reports that the committee is investigating whether Trump used burner phones during that period. But whatever we learn on that front, this whole story is made worse by the fact that those key players are refusing to cooperate with the committee. And as an aside, and consider the source, Michael Cohen, the former fixer to the president, said that there is soon to be someone that gives direct testimony that they were given $400 cash sent to the CBS and told to go buy burner phones for the president and bring back the receipt. You know, because Trump always likes to keep tight books. Back to Greg Sargent's piece. Where'd we leave off? Don't want to leave you hanging. Well, why are they refusing to cooperate with the committee? Here's why, according to Greg Sargent. What's at issue is how Trump reacted in real time as the violence unfolded. We know he reportedly watched it on TV with relish and refused multiple entreaties to issue a public statement calming the violence. But it's also likely Trump came to see the violence as helpful to intimidating his Vice President Mike Pence and possibly lawmakers as well into executing the scheme of delaying the electoral count. Trump reportedly called at least one GOP senator to press him for help delaying the count while the violence raged. Another call that isn't in the logs. That was what? Former Auburn football coach Tommy Tuberville turned Alabama senator. I'm going from memory. That's not what's here in the reporting. Here's a quote from Jamie Raskin. He was using the leverage of the violent insurrection to keep the inside political coup against Pence going. Don't forget, Rep. Jamie Raskin is a member of the January 6th committee. So the refusal of participation from key players who spoke to Trump during that period could illuminate his potential understanding of the violence as a weapon to complete the procedural coup. Is the other piece of a cover-up. It makes the missing phone logs look even worse. Here's a quote. Most everyone not cooperating with the committee is helping shield Trump from public disclosure about what happened during that period, Raskin said. Here's more. The J6 committee may already have records of the missing calls. Oh, that would suck for Trump. It's not clear why the phone logs are missing records of that seven-hour period. The committee is investigating this as well. And truthfully, the explanation might not end up being scandalous. But either way, the committee might be able to confirm many of Trump's calls during that period anyway, and indeed might already have done so. That's because the committee has already subpoenaed the phone records of some of these key players, as CNN recently reported, and this includes Mark Meadows. The committee has already started receiving some of this information per CNN. And what's more, according to Greg Sargent, last summer the committee directed 35 telecom and social media companies to preserve records of calls without divulging whose calls are at issue. We don't know how much of this information the committee has sought, but a committee staffer recently divulged that it just received a batch of new phone call records. The point is that calls between Trump and people such as Meadows and McCarthy can be confirmed via this other route. That won't reveal what transpired in the calls, but further confirming calls not listed in Trump's logs, this will illustrate what is missing from them. As Crooked Media Editor-in-Chief Brian Butler noted, the missing phone logs give sordid new meaning to McCarthy's recent threat that a GOP-controlled House will punish telecom companies that cooperate with the committee. Who else's records do you think might have been gobbled up? Guys like Jim Jordan, who couldn't remember, but now clearly appears on the phone logs that are presented by the White House?
Oh, what do you think, that Fancy? Stuff. Yeah, there's going to be a... we've said this so many times, there's going to be a lot more to come out, but again, I think you actually have people dead to rights because I think a lot of these folks thought they would have been in a position to be able to just destroy all this because they would have been in charge.
Well, they're hoping they will be in charge. The hole in the phone logs strengthens the case for the committee to ignore McCarthy's threats and proceed in assembling those phone records. To see what's missing from Trump's logs, a source familiar with the committee's thinking points out to me. And the case for subpoenaing lawmakers might just have gotten stronger. It's not strong enough already. We need more. Well, here's more. The committee is debating whether to subpoena members of Congress, such as Kevin McCarthy, Rep. Jim Jordan, who also talked to Trump on January 6th, about 10 minutes that morning. That's just what we know about. The source close to the committee tells me the missing phone logs might strengthen the case internally for subpoenaing them being lawmakers, because there should be more pressure on those lawmakers to testify about these calls with Trump. Whether to subpoena lawmakers is a complicated question without obvious answers. Needless to say, they would resist and slow walk the subpoenas, probably with much success. But still, whatever we learn from the missing phone logs, subpoenas directed at those lawmakers, combined with their resistance, might starkly illustrate to the public how determined Trump's allies are to help whitewash his insurrection attempt, which sparked the worst U.S. political violence in recent memory. Yeah, kinda. So anyways, that's the Greg Sargent opinion piece at the Washington Post. We are the Devil's Advocates. You can always be a part of this big program, 844-967-2789. Now, the fact that there are big gaps in the phone records, well, that could have some significance, Fancy Brian. You know what I mean?
Like that could be a glaring, obvious, like, you can't cover that, can you?
Well, we'll talk more about that, but let's get to our fair audience first. Joe from Madison, you're next up. Welcome to the big show, Joe.
Oh, there's so much to talk about, isn't there?
Usually there is. Otherwise, I make fun of Dominic's shortness. If we're short on topic, that's when you hear the diminutive jokes.
I wanted to commend to people interviews that you did last Friday. Math Rothschild was great, but also you had James Santel on. And within the course of that conversation you had with Mr. Santel, you used the phrase small fascisms. And you used it in regards to Mr. Voss and his basically dictating or indicating on a
elected
radio
Republican
interview.
AG and Voss threatened to do prosecutions predicated on the whatever it is that supposedly Gableman's digging up. I describe that as small fascisms, Joe.
And I think that what we're hearing today kind of enlarges the small to maybe medium-sized. My irateness in hearing that a person who is summoned by the J6 committee six times just blows it off. I mean, amazing. You can blow off summons from a congressional committee just six times. And here we have missing phone logs. We have the president apparently sending people out to get burner phones and, oh, keep the receipt. We're in a place where it's not just small fascisms, but I think that your use of that expression is very helpful because it's a little piece here, a larger size piece here, and pretty soon the picture is all filled in, and we need to do what we can to not let this go gracefully by and just silently go by. Instead, make a fuss, make some phone calls, and make yourself heard. So thanks for what you're doing, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, you've heard us, Joe. We appreciate that, and I hear you. Thank you for calling. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Crudy. This whole thing is troubling, to say the least. You have a Supreme Court justice wife working with corporate America, the likes of Home Depot, and there's others to mention here. And so this was a coup. It just was. You know, and right now all they've prosecuted is some low-hanging fruit, the people that were crazy enough to run into the Capitol.
They were the pawns. You always sacrifice, if you play chess, Wisco Paul, you sacrifice the pawns. The pawns were the foot soldiers at the U.S. Capitol that day. And there were, you know, second-level characters like the Proud Boys and others that came there with a specific plan, a seditious conspiracy. They knew that they were meeting at certain spots. They were moving in military-style tactics, trying to enter the building and delay the Electoral College count. Well, that was the plan on the ground. But the real chess is happening back at the Willard Hotel, in my opinion, Wisco Paul.
Well, the bottom line here is Garland needs to get off the dime. You know, Gene said it best last week. We're waiting. We're waiting for something to happen, and something needs to happen. Hey, the first thing you know, you could have a GOP Congress, and you know what they'll do, Crudy? We've talked about this before. Hey, they're gonna go after Biden's son and Biden. Oh, this will be swept under the rug. I hope not, because, hey, did you ever think, I'll leave you with this, did you ever think you would see the wife of a Supreme Court justice involved in insurrection? Do you ever think you'd see that, Crudy? It's very upsetting.
No, so, but
I got to go because...
Well, Wisco, I appreciate your call. Be careful out there on the roads. I never thought I would see the wife of a Supreme Court justice alleged to have been caught up in an insurrection. However, to kind of turn that question around on you, Wisco, if I had ever conceived that there would be an act of insurrection against the United States government and any Supreme Court justice wife was going to take part, I would have predicted that that would have been Jenny Thomas. See how that works? I'm not saying all Supreme Court justice insurrectionist wife are Jenny Thomas, but yes, sort of a singular club. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your calls. Many more than one. I hope.
When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth, so they're not prosecuted, I think it's disgraceful.
This drip, drip, drip is undermining the credibility of this administration.
If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
The irony is a little rich here these days.
It's the email. Well, what? The email.